Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic, written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 10. Much, Much Weirder. Nick sat in an armchair between Jenny and Elf, with James on the other side of a low coffee table. Cece jumped from Elf's lap to Nick's shoulder and playfully picked his ID badge from inside his jacket's pocket. He gave her a gentle rub on the head. "I can't believe you're actually a monkey," he found himself saying. "An emotional support monkey," James said. "She rescued me," Nick said, "out near the dorms. Collier and some of his cronies cornered me in the woods. Cece saved the day." Cece kept his ID badge and sprang back over to Elf's chair. "You've been busy," Elf said. "Is it true? Did you rescue the spy?" Cece grinned and nodded, holding up Nick's badge triumphantly. "I'm not a..." Nick started to say, ready to protest his innocence again. "We've been talking," Jenny said, "while you were outside with Cece. I think we might have been a little quick to jump to our conclusion." She looked at James, who let out a long breath before speaking. "I may have been wrong," he said, without much conviction. Jenny stretched out a leg and kicked his foot. "Okay, I probably was wrong to call you a spy." He looked at the two girls expectantly before added, "I mean, you could have been a spy." Jenny kicked him again. "But the evidence is only circumstantial and flimsy at best." "He's trying to apologize," Jenny said. "We're all sorry. It seems like Cece knew better than us." Cece was busy whirling Nick's badge around her head like a helicopter. "Why was Collier chasing you in the dark through the woods?" Elf asked. "I'm not sure," Nick said. "He doesn't like scholarship students." "Why were you out in the woods?" James asked. "I was looking for an internet connection." "Outside? In the dark at night?" Elf raised an eyebrow. "Were you in Brighton?" Nick changed the subject. "And are you even allowed an emotional support monkey here?" Nobody said anything. Cece swung Nick's badge into the side of the armchair. It struck the fabric with a muffled thud, sending out a tiny puff of dust. She did it again. Jenny was the first to speak. "I think we need to start being a bit more honest with each other. We're not going to get anywhere if we keep avoiding questions." "I'll go first. Yes, we were in Brighton, and we're in a bit of a tricky situation. If you can help us by telling us how you knew we were in Brighton, then we can think about helping you." "With Wi-Fi?" Nick asked. "Well, we don't exactly have Wi-Fi here right now," James said, looking uncomfortable. "But we do have it," Jenny added quickly, "back in Brighton." "But that would mean I'd have to..." James trailed off. "No, we can't trust him that much."
"Either we trust him or we don't," Elf said. "If we do, we do. If not, why are we even here?"
"Profound," James said, "but I'm not doing it." He folded his arms, then looked at the others and immediately unfolded them. Nick weighed up his choices. He had no assurance that going back outside in the cold and dark would result in him cracking a password and getting internet. Despite James's objections, at least there was internet in Brighton, though he had no idea how they were going to get to Brighton. Perhaps he could share a few things about his latest hack without giving too much away. There was still plenty of time to get his granddad's food order in. Plus, the idea of making James do something that he clearly didn't want to do seemed like reasonable payback for his general bad mood. "I hacked the school network," Nick said. "That's how I knew where you were. I can tell you more, or better, I can show you, if you can get me an internet connection."
"You hacked Twitchell's," Jenny said.
Nick couldn't tell if she was impressed or annoyed. Perhaps both. "It wasn't hard," he said, then quickly added, "I mean, I didn't have to do very much. They had a vulnerable server." "Okay,
So you easily hacked into Twitchell's network on your second day at school, James said, a little skepticism creeping into his voice. But that still doesn't explain how you knew where we were. Yes, it does, Nick said, because Twitchell's has a system on their network that tracks the students, and it showed me that you three and those other two were in Brighton. James turned to Jenny, then to Elf, then back to Nick. Twitchell's tracks us. How? He asked, his skepticism replaced with surprise. Cece swung Nick's badge round again, but this time let it go near the top of its arc. It sailed through the air towards James, who caught it between two fingers with an unexpected precision. The badges, Nick said. I don't know how they work, but there's a server on Twitchell's network that receives geolocation data and tracks every student. Oh no, Jenny groaned. We should have been more careful. James examined Nick's badge closely, turning it over in his hand. Do they keep the historic data, or is it just a live tracker? I don't know. I only had access to the system for a minute before the caretaker killed the Wi-Fi. I was lucky to find out what I did. If you can get me a connection, then I can tell you. Jenny leaned forward. Don't you have to be here at Twitchell's to hack into the school network? No. I've installed a VPN tunneler. Any internet connection will do. Jenny looked back at James and waited. He tossed the ID badge back to Nick. Okay, James sighed. I agree that we need to see this tracking data, and that means we've got to go to Brighton. But I want my objection noted. Duly noted and ignored, Elf said. Let's go. I was halfway through finishing off a hem when all this kicked off. What about the other two? Shouldn't we do something about them? Jenny asked. You heard what he said, Elf said. Nikolai is back here. Hector is probably with him. Hector's here, Nick said, thinking about Wide Boy. He was with Kolya. Who's Nikolai? N. Sokolov, Nikolai, is Kolya, Jenny said. Kolya's a shortened version, like Nick and Nicholas. Something about sharing a name with the man boy made Nick uncomfortable. Come on, James said. We can sort all that out later. Let's go. To Brighton? Nick asked. Right now? James nodded. That's where the Wi-Fi is. But won't someone stop us? Only if they catch us, Elf said, and they never do. Everyone got up to leave. Hang on, Nick said. What about the badges? They'll be tracking us. Even if they don't stop us, they'll know we left the school. I don't care if they know, Elf said. They don't seem to be doing anything about it. Yet, Jenny said, but maybe that's how they found the book. Nick stood up and thought of something else. Kolya has access to the data, he said. That's how he found me in the woods outside C Block. He tracked me on his phone. Kolya hacked the school network too, James said, a look of shock on his face. No way, Elf said. He struggles sending emails. And I don't think he can even remember his own password. I didn't say he hacked it, Nick said. Just that he has access to the data. I don't know how he gets it. We should leave our badges here, Jenny said. I don't want him knowing where we are. Or the inspector. Well, we need to take at least one badge with us. Otherwise, we'll be locked out of the school when we come back, James said. And if we've got one badge with us, we might as well have all of them. What about Cece? Nick said. Everyone looked at him. Cece can climb anywhere. We could put the badges in our rooms, and if we leave the windows open, I bet Cece could get them for us. Not bad, James said. Cece, do you think that'll work? The monkey grinned and nodded vigorously. Okay, Jenny said. We'll take our badges to our rooms, then meet back in the study room. I'll take the badges, James said, in an unusual show of helpfulness, for both of us. I may as well come. I need my charger anyway, Nick said. James's expression dropped. He looked at Jenny, who gave him a shrug. James didn't say anything at all on the short walk to their dorm room. When they got inside, Nick guessed why. His stuff was a mess, the piles of uniform no longer on the desk, but dumped across the floor. His drawers were open, and so was his wardrobe, not that there was anything inside it. Sorry about that, James said meekly. The girls wanted to make sure that you hadn't hidden the book in here. Nick didn't really care. It was all Twitchell stuff. But he wasn't going to let James know any time soon. He left his badge on his desk, picked up his phone and laptop chargers, and heaved the old heavy window open. It was the kind that opened vertically, a sash window running in tight wooden tracks, and it was very stiff. He only managed to lift it up about an inch. James came over to help, and between them they got it a bit higher, but nowhere near enough for Cece to fit through. She'll never get through there, James said. Stupid old windows. But the badges will, Nick said. Good point, James nodded. They left their badges on the windowsill, where Cece could easily reach them. Before they went out, James went over to his desk and got a pencil out and snapped it in half. Then he jammed the longer half into the track that let the window slide up and down. Wouldn't want it to shut itself in the night, he said, as they left. The girls were already in the study room when they arrived. Nick closed the door behind them. All good? Jenny asked. Yes, James said, swinging his rucksack off his back. He pulled out his ring-bound notebook, the same one that he'd been drawing in during lessons the previous day, along with a rather large feather. It was golden brown, and as it turned in his fingers, Nick caught a glint of iridescence through its veins. James took a small silver tube from a pouch attached to the notebook and pushed it onto the shaft of the feather, making a quill. Nick wasn't sure what was going on. The other two were just waiting. If anything, Elf looked a little bored. James opened the book to a blank page, fished a little silver pot out of the pouch, flipped open its cap, and dipped the quill into it. The nib came out with a spot of black ink on the end. He closed the cap and slipped the pot back into the pouch in one fluid motion. Would you mind? James looked up at Nick and tipped his head to the left. Sorry, Nick said, stepping aside, leaving James standing about 2 meters from a blank wall. With the notebook in his left hand and the quill in his right, James took a few deep breaths, shrugged his shoulders, did a couple of half squats, then brought the notebook in towards his chest. It was a set of practiced movements, like a golfer getting ready to hit a ball. Jenny was concentrating and mouthing words as James tilted the notebook downward and moved the quill into place. Elf was absent-mindedly rolling her fingers through the golden fur on Cece's back. The thing that happened next, the first time that Nick witnessed real magic, gave him the same thrill as the first time he'd found his way into a computer that he wasn't supposed to be in. James used the quill to draw a series of lines that looked like a Chinese word or symbol. As soon as the last line was on the page, a dark rectangular shape started growing in front of him, right where Nick had been standing. The rectangle was angled like an architect's desk, and it had some kind of pattern on it, swooshing dark grey streaks, moving almost rhythmically. Nick felt his phone vibrate in his pocket. He'd just received a message. He ignored it and watched the rectangle grow. It was mesmerizing. "Lights," Elf said with a yawn. Nick was closest, so he took a step and reached out to the light switch, while keeping his eyes on the ever-growing shape. As he moved, the pattern of greys shifted, and he could see some lights behind them. It looked a bit like the back of a row of houses. When he moved his head, he could see more of the houses, like he was looking through a window. "Lights!" Elf said sharply. "Sorry," Nick said. He flicked the switch and the room went dark. The only light now came from the rectangle with the houses in it, which was now about the size of a regular door and seemed to have stopped growing. "Not bad," Jenny said, nodding approvingly. "But why is it so high?" "Thought Nick might appreciate a longer trip," James grinned. "It is his first time, after all." Nick tried to make sense of the situation. "Is that a..." He trailed off, not wanting to say something clearly ridiculous like, "gateway to another dimension," which is exactly what it looked like. "It's a portal," James said. "You're looking at the back of Elf's house in Brighton. We're right next to the tall trees at the bottom of her garden. It's amazing, Nick shook his head. How does it work? It was only then that he noticed that James wasn't standing next to him anymore. He was floating, his feet almost level with Nick's waist.
Whoa, you can fly?
Not quite, James said, his head now bobbing near the ceiling. We don't know a huge amount about how it actually works, Jenny said. The quill's called the key to the air. If you draw the right symbol with it, you can conjure a portal. While the portal's open, anything touching the key will float, which really helps navigating through, especially when the portal isn't next to the ground.
And you can go anywhere in the world?
Nick asked, eyes dancing between the portal and the floating boy, his mind not sure which of them needed his attention most. If you've got the quill and you can draw, technically you can conjure a portal, James said. Where the portal leads to entirely depends on knowing the right symbol.
Where did you get the quill?
They stole it from a mad girl, Elf said, a couple of years ago.
Not quite true, James said. Number 8 wasn't mad, just really, really angry, and perhaps a little too ambitious for her own good.
You had to stop her blowing up a cliff and killing a load of people, Elf said with a shrug. Pretty mad if you ask me.
How did you stop her? Nick was not going to run out of questions any time soon.
James killed her, Elf said in a matter-of-fact way. But only because he had to. He had no choice.
James did not disagree with this. He clutched the quill and the notebook to his chest, his eyes fixed on the distant point beyond the portal. Time to go, Jenny said, reaching up and holding James's free hand. Elf, with Cece firmly planted on a shoulder, took Jenny's other hand. The next thing Nick knew, Elf's hand had slipped into his, pulling him upwards towards Jenny, who was now floating next to James near the ceiling.
Wait,
Nick said, with more than a little panic in his voice, as he felt the pull of Earth's gravity draining away from the mass of his body.
I'm only in year 9. I'm not ready for portals.
He squeezed Elf's hand tight, and his feet lifted gently off the floor.
You'll be fine, Elf said softly, his head now level with hers. But whatever you do, don't let go.
This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.